For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
Okay, let's turn to that passage. And if I can have the screen up, thank you. And let me actually begin with Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And it's been amazing this morning to hear Gary's story, for me again, but for most of you the first time, and to see the power of the gospel to change someone's life radically. That word power there, that is translated power, is the same word that we get dynamite from. It's dunamis. The gospel is that powerful to change and transform people's lives. And even Gary's partner, now wife, can see the difference God has made to his life, and she testifies to that as well. And this morning we're rejoicing in one life transformed. But of course there are thousands more lives in Shirley where we want to see God at work powerfully. We want to see the transforming power of the gospel bringing life and joy as they enter into God's kingdom. Don't you long to see more addictions being broken? Don't you long to see more people in debt released from debt? Don't you long to see the lonely given a family? Don't you long to see the light and life of God's kingdom coming more and more into our local area? I certainly do. And of course, it's not just Shirley. There are tens of thousands in Southampton. There are millions in our country. There are billions in our world who don't know the transforming power of God's. And over these next few weeks on a Sunday, we're profiling our sort of updated vision as a church family. And it begins by saying that at St. James's by the Park, we're passionate about seeing God's kingdom come in Shirley and throughout Southampton and further afield as well. We want to see more and more stories like the one we've heard this morning. And as the gospel works in individual lives, then the kingdom of God, it ripples out, doesn't it? And it transforms the families, and it transforms the workplaces, and it transforms the communities as well. That's what we want to be seeing happen. And it's because this is what we're passionate about that we've known for the last few years that God is calling us to turn our church community inside out. So that's been our vision since 2014. And in other words, to make sure that our church doesn't just sort of stay focused in on ourselves and what our needs are, but we're looking out to the community and we're thinking, what are the needs of the community? How can we be serving the community? And how can we be responding to those needs? And so that we can bring this message of life and light and hope in the places of darkness and despair and death. And over the last few years, we've seen good progress as we've begun moving towards putting this vision into reality. And we've set up missional communities focused on particular areas of need in our local area. We've experimented with things like the Advent Market Stall on the High Street, Superstars at Wordsworth School. In a few weeks' time, the men's group are going to be running the Life Explored course in one of the local pubs. That's all ways of turning our church community inside out. But then over these last few months, we've done a bit of a stock take and to see how we're doing and work out how we need to concentrate over these next few years as we continue to put this vision into practice. And I want to give you just a simple diagram which will help us get a handle on how we're going to do this. And some people think that Christianity is all about rules. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Christianity isn't about rules. It's about relationship. And I want to suggest that there are three main relationships that we have in the Christian life. And these won't be new to some of you, this language. It's old language. I haven't made it up. So we've got the up, which is our relationship with God. Our Heavenly Father, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've got our relationship with each other, our inward relationships. And so Jesus says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. That's our inward relationship. And then we have our relationship with the wider community, the outward relationship. And maybe we can just stick this onto the screen so that people can see it a bit more clearly. And so Jesus said, the second most important commandment is to love your neighbor. Maybe you can't see that more clearly yet. There we go. Love your neighbor. And so that's our outward relationship, our relationship with the world. And some of us have a particular heart for the upward relationship. And so we love worshiping God. We love spending time with our Bibles and praying and so on. And some of us are really focused on the inward relationship. So we, if we see a need somewhere else in the church, then we will try to meet that need. We'll be texting someone to see how they're doing, if they weren't at church on a Sunday, whatever it is. So we focus on the in. Some of us focus on the out. And so for us, mission is what the Christian life is all about. And we long to be part of these missional communities, or we will long to be building good relationships in our workplace so that we can share the gospel with our friends there. And the thing is, each one of these three relationships is vital for the Christian life. We can't say to God, look, well, I'm focusing on these two, but I'm not doing that one, because God doesn't make any of them optional. They're all essential. In fact, I'm going to write the word discipleship in the middle here, because it's only as we're working on all three of these relationships that we're genuinely growing as disciples of Christ. So that's just a little tool to give you a handle on the shape of the Christian life. And over these next few weeks, we're sort of unpacking our vision using these three handles just to describe what we're wanting to do. Because although we've been talking about the outward focus, you know, we want more and more people to be coming into God's kingdom and so on. If we focus all our energies there and neglect the up and the in, then we're not being genuine disciples, and actually we're not going to be a good advert for the transforming life of God's kingdom. And so we have to start up thinking about the up, our relationship with God. That's where it all comes from. And in fact, we could even say Christianity doesn't start with us loving God, it starts with God loving us, doesn't it? The Bible says this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so our response of love to God is only, it's in response to his first love for us. And as we fill ourselves up with God's love, as we open ourselves up to receive God's love more and more, then his love will pour out and transform our inward relationships, and it will transform our outward relationships as well. And so our vision, we're starting by focusing on up, this relationship with God, and how we can strengthen and develop our relationship with God as individuals and as a community. So Ephesians 1, verse 17. So I'm going to spend the rest of the morning focusing on this little passage here. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's praying for some Christians in the church in Ephesus, modern-day Greece. And he says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And Paul often prays along similar lines when he's writing to the different churches he's planted. It's his consistent prayer for them, and what he'd encourage us to pray for each other as well, that we would know God better. And it's not just an intellectual knowledge that he's talking about. He's talking about a personal and experiential knowledge of God. I don't know if you remember the old translations of the Bible when it's talking about Adam and Eve. It says this, Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Now, how did Adam know Eve in that situation? You know, it wasn't just a theoretical knowledge. Oh, I know Eve exists. It wasn't just a knowledge about her. You know, she's 5'6" and she's got blue eyes and dark hair or whatever it is. You know, it was an experiential knowledge, wasn't it? He made babies with her. And so when Paul says, I pray that you may know God better, actually it's that personal level of knowledge. It's not just an academic thing, it's a heart thing. An experiential thing that Paul is after for our lives. And so he's praying that we'll have a deeper and more personal sense of God's love and his holiness and his glory and his grace and his grandeur and his majesty and power and so on. And that these things wouldn't just be sort of words on a page to us. Well, they wouldn't just be concepts in our minds, but they're things which stir our hearts and cause us to sing for joy because of how great God is. And God wants us to love him all out, to hold nothing back from him. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. And so we're going to be growing constantly in our love for God. And yet if we're honest, a lot of us, me included, we do hold back from God, don't we? Some of us hold back because we haven't realized, actually, that the Christian life is a journey. And when Jesus calls us, he doesn't say, look, come and stand with me. He says, come and follow me. And so it's a dynamic thing, a journey thing. We have to keep following him if we're going to stay close to him. If we want to grow closer to God, we've got to follow Jesus actively. These people that Paul is praying for in Ephesus, they've been Christians a number of years. He writes in verse 15, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all of God's people, I haven't stopped giving thanks for you in all my prayers. So in other words, they're good, strong Christians. And yet he then goes on to pray, look, I pray that you will know God more. The Christian life is a journey. We can never know God enough. We've got to keep on growing in our knowledge of God. If we ever think that we've arrived in the Christian life, we've got it wrong. There is always more of God to know. And then some of us hold back from growing in our relationship with God because we feel too ashamed. You know, our track record makes us think that God wouldn't be interested in us, and therefore we think, well, it's not even worth trying. But you remember the story of the prodigal son, which Amy was looking at for us last week? The story of the son who was so ashamed of what he'd done, so desperate for someone to help, that he crawled back to his family home saying, look, don't take me as a son, take me as a slave. That's all I deserve. And maybe that's how some of you feel. You think, I don't deserve anything from God, but maybe I could be a slave. And Amy reminded us, actually, it shouldn't be called the story of the prodigal son. It should be called the story of the running father. Because as the son is crawling back home, the father is running out with open arms and says, come on in. He waves away all the apologies and so on and says, look, you're a son. I'm throwing a party for you. I'm treating you like royalty. And that is how God welcomes us back. You know, whatever our track record is, whether we're a Christian or not, if we feel ashamed, actually God is there with open arms to welcome us home. Don't hold back from God. Will you let him give you that hug and welcome you home? God made you. Of course he's interested in you. God, Jesus died for you. Of course he loves you. And then some of us hold back from God because we're afraid of what God might ask of us. And so we think, well, maybe he's going to ask us to move overseas, or he's going to ask us to give up porn, or he's going to ask us to give away loads of money, whatever it is. But to be honest, you know, we don't want to do those things because we love them too much. And our life is comfortable as it is, and we don't want to go that far outside of our comfort zones. Do you know what? The oldest trick in the devil's book is to make people think that God wants us to have a miserable life. That he wants to take away things that we enjoy. And actually, the truth is that God is a good, good father who wants the best for us. The absolute best for us. Jesus said he came to give life in all its fullness. Not to take life away from us, but to give life to us. And yes, God may well take us outside of our comfort zones. God may even ask us to give up some things that we dearly love. But if he asks us to do that, it's only because he wants to give us something which is even better for us. Let's keep growing in our relationship with God. Let's hold nothing back from him. Let's step outside of our comfort zones, even when it feels so risky. And do you know the danger of not doing this, not growing in our relationship with God? Well, I think it makes us a bit like this jug. And if we're concentrating just on the in and the out, and we're thinking, okay, well, I'm gonna sort of help that person in my cell group who's really going through a tough time at the moment. And there's my family. I'm not going to abandon my family. I'm going to pour myself out for them. And there's that colleague at work who's just been bereaved. I'm going to spend time with them and make sure that they know that I love them and God loves them and so on. And there was that accident on the road yesterday. And, you know, we keep pouring ourselves out. And we keep pouring ourselves out, and we find that we're empty, and we've got nothing left to give. And that is the danger of not growing in our relationship with God constantly, that we empty ourselves, and we've got nothing left to give. And you know what Jesus says to us? He stood up on the last and greatest day of the feast, it says in John, and he says, "Come to me, all who are thirsty." And you see, he's got these never-ending supplies that he wants to pour into our lives. And as he pours them into our life, then, of course, we can go on and pour them out into other people's lives as well. The prophet Isaiah says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." Jesus says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." That is what God wants to give to us. And in this passage in Ephesians, Paul talks so much about what God wants to give to us. He goes on in verse 18 to sort of expand on the prayer that we would know God better by unpacking a little bit more what that's going to look like. He says, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know first the hope to which he's called you." And Paul had spent the first half of the chapter writing about the hope to which he's called us, about how God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ by choosing us and lovingly adopting us into his family, and redeeming us through Jesus' death on the cross and forgiving our sins, doing a permanent erase on all our failures, and giving us the Holy Spirit and letting us know his will. And this is all just pouring out of Paul's mouth, well, pouring out of his pen, I suppose, as he's writing in praise to God for everything that God has done for us. And now here in verse 18, he's saying, "Look, I pray that you will know these things more and more deeply, and so that they're not just going to be the words on the page or the concept in our heads, but they're going to cause our hearts to sing because of these wonderful things that God has given us." And then he prays second that we would know the riches of his glorious inheritance for the saints. So that is, we'd know the delights of the new creation which awaits us. The place where God's kingdom will be seen in all of its power and glory. The place where there won't be any self-harming. There won't be any loneliness. There won't be any war or cruel injustice or any of these other things which blight our world and our lives. The place where no evil is allowed and God's presence lights up our life. And we step into the perfected world that God longs to give to us and always has always been God's plan for us. And he's praying that this glorious inheritance, again, won't just be a distant pipe dream, but will stir us in our hearts and be a daily longing and yearning for us. And then he prays third, that we would know God's incomparably great power for us who believe, which is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And I find that one of the most mind-boggling verses in the whole Bible. That the same power which raised Christ from the dead is at work in me. And if God can transform death to life, my word, what can he do in my life to transform me for the better? That's an incredible power source, a death-defeating power source that we can plug into. And that is so encouraging, isn't it? So encouraging. And so knowing God better includes grasping it even more deeply, you know, the incredible calling that God has given us when we became Christians, tapping into this wonderful power supply that we have ready for us to live the Christian life, and then looking forward to this glorious riches which God wants to give us, our inheritance that he wants to give us. And so, friends, let's keep growing in our relationship with God. Let's not hold back. Let's step out of our comfort zones with God and see where he leads us as we grow close to him. On the way out today, I'm going to give each of you a little excerpt from the vision document that our church council has put together. And it highlights some of the particular ways in which we sense that God is wanting us, to, as individuals and as a community, to grow closer to God at the moment. Can we switch back to the screen and let me just flag some of these up for us. We'd have more of us reading our Bibles regularly. You know, the Bible is an inexhaustible treasure trove. It's a wonderful source of encouragement and comfort for us. The Bible is God speaking to us. And if we're not reading our Bibles, actually we're deliberately making ourselves deaf to the God who wants to speak to us. And we're deliberately cutting ourselves off from that deepening, growing relationship. And how can we develop a relationship if we're not listening to the other person? The Bible is absolutely indispensable to the Christian life. Yes, it's sometimes difficult to understand, challenging to understand. At other times, it's really simple to understand, isn't it? But really challenging to put into practice. But we can never move on from the Bible. We're never too advanced for the Bible. So let's see more of us reading our Bibles more regularly. We want to have a deepening prayer life, individually and together. And for prayer, not just to be a shopping list where we go to God and we say, look, we want this, this, and this. But to come to God in stillness and to listen to him. Coming with thanksgiving, coming to praise him. I mean, imagine you've got a message from the Queen or President Obama or Sam Allardyce or someone like that saying that they wanted to meet you. And you'd go, wouldn't you? And yet we've got a message from the King of the universe saying, I want to meet with you. And in fact, we've got a free pass that we can go whenever we want and as often as we want to come before God in prayer, to meet with God. Let's use that privilege as much as possible. And over the coming years, we want to be stepping out in faith, going outside of our comfort zones, whether it's through praying bigger, bolder prayers, or through actively doing new things at home or at work or at church for God. I don't know if you remember the sermon series that we had just before the summer. We were looking at Hebrews chapter 11. Some of those great heroes of faith from thousands of years ago. But they were just ordinary people like us. And they had the courage to step out for God. And we can have that same courage to be heroes of faith as well. Step out of our comfort zones. And as we do so, we will grow, we will experience God more. His promises and his presence will become so much more precious to us. And then what about our Sunday services? Well, we want these gatherings to be times when we can express our heartfelt praise and worship like we have been this morning. And to do that with a greater sense of freedom. Expressing our praise for God in song is a powerful way to draw closer to God. And in these gatherings, alongside the preaching and the worship and so on, we'd love to see some of the more spontaneous gifts of the Spirit being used more. The gifts of knowledge or the words and pictures and so on. It was great. We had a little bit of that last week. Let's pray we'll be having more of that. Because that can be used rightly. Those gifts can be really helpful in drawing us closer to God. And knowing that God wants to be close to us. And then finally, we've identified that there are maybe particular issues that groups of us within the congregation face, whether it's suffering or retirement or parenting, whatever it is, singleness. You know, how can we as Christians be disciples through those challenges that we face? And maybe we'll put on some seminars over the coming years where we can go in deeper detail than we can on a Sunday morning. And so there's six things that we'd love to see happening over these coming years as we deepen our relationship with God. And some of you will say, oh yes, I definitely need help in that area. Well, let's seek out help. Ask others to help you. Others of us will say, actually, I'm fairly good in that area. Well, in which case, seek out others that you can help and that you can encourage them to grow in that area. A passage in Ephesians. Let me put it this way. I don't want you to think that doing all of these things is putting the onus back on us. You know, this is something that we've got to do our Bible reading, and we've got to do our praying, and we've got to come and do our Sunday worship and so on. Actually, this passage in Ephesians is a prayer, and it's asking God to do these things in us. Yes, we can read our Bibles, but it's only God by His Spirit who can illuminate the Bible and make it come alive to us. Yes, we can make the time to pray, but actually it's only as God by His Spirit comes and makes that prayer time a genuine relational thing with God our Father. And so Paul is praying that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know Him better. We cannot know God more just by our own efforts. It is a gift of God. And so we need to pray that God will give us that gift. Pray for more of God's Spirit. There is always more of God to know. And so our vision as a church community is turning ourselves inside out so that our outward relationships, the way we love and serve Shirley and Southampton and beyond, we see God's kingdom coming more and more. And we hear more and more wonderful stories like the one we've heard this morning. But we can't just focus on that area. We've got to start by growing our relationship with God. Next week, we'll look at growing our relationship with each other. We'll have the church picnic and so on. But for now, let's concentrate on this one, growing our relationship with God. And there'll be time in the cell groups and mission groups through this week just to tease that out a little bit more. Do you remember the jug and the glasses? We want to be able to pour ourselves out in service to others and see God's kingdom come. But we can only do that if we're daily being replenished and refreshed by our wonderful Heavenly Father. Chris, Sarah, Pete, do you want to come back and get ready to pray? And I'm going to encourage the rest of us to stand and let's pray as we wait on God and as we respond to Him. Maybe just in the quietness first, think and say to God what it is that you want to say to Him in response to this talk. Maybe you want to come and say, Lord, I'm thirsty. Will you fill me? Maybe you need to say something else to Him. Just take these few moments to do that. Jesus says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes, streams of living water will flow from within them. Lord God, please would you send your Spirit on us, now and day by day, that we would grow closer to you, that we would love you with more of our heart, with more of our soul, with more of our mind, with more of our strength. We know that we cannot do this by ourselves. We look to you to draw us closer to you. Thank you for that promise that when we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. Would you give us that Spirit of wisdom and revelation so we may know you better? Please come, Lord Jesus, and work in us this morning.